NPRUS.com. And Roland and Carol Pample for support of the NPR Fund for New Initiatives, helping to develop NPR's new programming and new media. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
He's created dozens of classics, from Folsom Prison Blues to Ring of Fire. More than 1,500 songs in 50 years, and he's still on the hunt for more.
Nobody's safe.
Well, I won't back down.
I'm Bob Edwards, the legendary Johnny Cash, tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't.
You can hear Morning Edition every weekday from 5 to 9 a.m. right here on KUSP, your Central Coast Public radio station. Grey Wolf Computer Systems has provided a grant in support of this program. Grey Wolf Computer Systems offers custom computer systems and personalized service for repairs, upgrades, and networks in the East Cliff Village Shopping Center in Santa Cruz. It is 6:30, November 4th, 2002. It's a Monday. Time for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, your weekly jolt of computer and internet technology, or bridging the gap between geeks and humanity every week here on KUSP. My name is Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed on Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP.
This program is supported by a grant from Seagate Technology. Seagate is a worldwide supplier of disk drives for PCs and servers and innovations for products like the Microsoft Xbox, digital video recorders, and digital jukeboxes. Information is available at Seagate.com.
As you can see, I'm not alone in the air room. With me in the air room is John Tracy. John, thanks for that wonderful read.
My pleasure.
Sean Cleveland and Miles Elam. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Oh, and
hello.
Quinn Tracy as well. So you're going to have to yell loudly, Quinn, if you want to be heard on the mic. Tonight, we're going to be doing a traditional Geek Speak program. We're going to be taking your calls about your problems and concerns and issues related to technology. So take down the phone numbers now or call up now, 476-2800, or toll free at 1-800-655-5877. Maggie will be answering the phones, and she looks forward to patching you on through us. You can call in regarding Mac,
anything.
Unix, Linux, any operating system that is currently available will have something to say about.
If I could say something, often I hear people say,
let me take this out. All right, John, yes, go on.
Much better. I often hear people say, oh, you're on GeekSpeak? Oh, I love listening to you guys. Half the time I can't understand what you're saying. If you're one of those people and you can't understand what we're saying, call in, because one of the things we're trying to do on Geek Speak is bridge the gap between the techno babble that is behind the underlying all the technology we use and try and make it something you can understand.
And speaking of things you can't understand, Miles.
Yeah, Lyle, I have the joke. Is this on?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. I have the geek joke.
Okay, let me hear it.
Why do geeks get Halloween and Christmas mixed up?
Why?
Because Oct 31 is equal to Dec 25.
That's great. Okay, I got one.
Yes.
I got one. Well, it's more of a statement than a joke. There are really only 10 types of people. Those that understand binary and those that don't. Now, if you can't understand those jokes, it's time to call. The phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-587. Again, that's 1-800-655-5877.
And if you do understand those jokes, please call in. We'd like you as a guest.
At least. It's not a mentor. So what's new in the world? Who's been reading Slashdot? Miles?
Slashdot has it same old, you know, some new computer came out, you know, Canada recently, a bunch of universities got together and basically made a large distributed computer to work out a chemistry problem that would have taken years to solve, but because they're all working together, solving it in one day.
Sweet. Kind of like a distributed personal computer system?
It's the major servers that are at each university.
Oh, I see. Okay. And I bet, John, you had something to say about Macs, but we got a call already. So, Justin from Santa Cruz, you're going to buy a new machine, and you want to know which to buy. Is that right?
Yes.
What's on your... Are you on a speakerphone? Can you go ahead and pick up?
No, I'm on a cell phone. That's all I have.
Okay. We'll talk loudly, and we'll listen.
Okay. I'm trying to decide between an iMac... one that looks like a lamp, and or a Dell Dimension 4550, and the iMac is about $500 more, but both of them have pretty much the same, they're pretty much comparable, 512 megabytes, 60 gigabyte hard drive, CD-ROM burner, DVD burner. And I just want your opinion on if you think the iMac is worth the extra money.
What do you plan on doing with it?
A lot of digital images.
Video?
Not video, just digital images, imaging.
Are you familiar with an operating system yet? Have you used Windows, used Mac?
Yes, I've used both of them. I've used more Windows, but I thought I wanted to make the switch to a Mac, but they're so much more expensive. But I hear there's less problems overall with them, and they're faster for the same.
Well, they are.
That's some good marketing.
But just in every computer's defense, they all have problems. Oh, wait, that's not really in their defense, is it? You're going to run into problems no matter what operating system you get into.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the nature of computers.
Let's talk about speed for a second, because Sean, who works in the x86 processor realm, not the Motorola Mac realm, contends that, I'm assuming, Sean, that Macs are not as fast as the top-of-the-line PCs. Is that true?
Well, they're working on an old Motorola chip that still has a backside bus that runs half the speed of the processor. So,
and that's not the case with the Intel AMD side?
No. Everything runs at the full speed of the processor, and they're generally twice as fast. But, you know, Apple claims that it doesn't make much of a difference with their OS. So
yeah.
I would go with what you know, what you want to use, and what software you have sitting on your shelf.
Have you played with the two computers?
No, I haven't. I haven't used either of them, but I've been shopping. They both have what I'm looking for.
I would highly recommend going into a Mac store and playing, because you'll be able to, and go into a Dell store and playing, because you'll be able to.
You know where the nearest Mac store is?
Are you in Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one over on 41st and Capitola.
Okay.
If you know where the DMV is?
It's
the driveway right before that.
Okay.
And they will have the Macs, they'll have iMacs set up, they'll have OS 10, they'll have OS 9 on iMacs, they'll have both of them, you can play with both of them, talk to them, know a lot about it. And then you'll probably, after you finish that, you'll be totally swayed that you're going to be getting a Mac. Then try to find a Dell comparison to look at. But then maybe the price range will be the deciding factor for you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. All right.
Bye, Justin. And we got Eric from Monterey. Eric, what's up?
Hi, I'm... wondering if you guys think that the Palm is going to go the way of the Dodo, or whether this is the operating system that's here to stay.
Are we talking about the operating system or the hardware?
The operating system.
I'd say it's not going anywhere.
There's a lot of software out there that's been written for the Palm OS.
Yeah, and it also does something that basically no other portable device has, which is it's made for doing one task at a time, switching back and forth between it. There's nothing as simple and intuitive.
It's more like paper notebook than anything else.
Yeah.
And what you're saying, you're suggesting, is possibly that it's going to be replaced by maybe a Java or Microsoft CE?
Yeah, Microsoft CE, you know, the
small Microsoft version.
Yeah.
Microsoft wins.
Yeah,
Microsoft wins. I guess it comes down to, like, I'm looking at this next version, which would be, you know, getting hardware that would also have a phone in it, and it's like $1,000, and do I really want to bring for that if this may not be the long-term technology?
The problem with Windows CE, which is kind of going away because it's embedded Windows XP, seems to be taking its place. But it's like the screens are too small for a full-blown version of Windows, which is what these things are trying to be, whereas Palm is really meant for a small screen.
Think about it this way. I mean, you're going to give up your computer, or you're going to be using a Palm and a computer. and therefore what tasks do you want to be that you definitely want to have with you all the time, and which ones can go with the laptop or even wait for a computer network connection at someone's home. So there's a lot of choice there. And I want a really simple, always available device that runs on batteries I can replace or at least charge and last a long time, because I don't want to really do anything besides address book and calendar.
All that said, what about the new Samsung and Nokia phones that are web browsable? They're not running CE, they're not running Palm OS, you know, one of them's running, OS?
They're running proprietary stuff, yeah.
Right. What about stuff like that cutting into Palm's market, maybe making it disappear?
That's the thing, is there's a lot of players out there, vying, and the truth of the matter is when you come with the most successful personal device is the Palm OS. That's the one that's sold the most by far. I mean, hands down.
I think what it comes down to is all of these are information retrieval devices. So, you know, depending on what level you can retrieve your information and get it into the device is really going to, you know,
and also,
make or break it.
Eric, I would suggest that if you bought a device now, no matter what device it is, in 5 years, definitely 10 years, most likely 2 years, your device will be obsolete anyway.
Right.
So think of it as a short-term commitment and then go ahead and go for something that's a little less expensive. Don't get the top-of-the-line thing that will be out of date within 6 months. Get the bottom-of-the-line thing that will still work in 12 months. So that's kind of a hard thing to do.
What I can recommend, and I really wish Chris Dunphy were here.
I know. Chris Dunphy works for Palm Source.
He could tell you specifically the types of technologies I'm about to, you know, try and explain.
Let's set up a Palm show.
But what you really want to do is, I'm big on color. You might want to really check out the color devices. And there are two different kinds of color. One you can see indoors but not outdoors, and one you can see outdoors very well and indoors as well. That one's more expensive.
The battery life is shorter.
I wish I remember what that screen was called, but definitely go check out a few. Go to Fry's, pick them up, play with them.
But the first thing, Eric, I would be asking myself is not how long the system's going to be working, but will it work for the next 2 years, and all devices you see out there will? Will it work for the next five? Palm probably will. And then what are the features? What are the five most important features for you? Do you want it to be available all the time? Do you want it to have a long battery life so you don't have to deal with it very much? Do you want it to be able to sync to the computer you currently have? Those are things that are the top of my list rather than do I have a color screen or not? And then what kind of applications do you want? Do you want MP3s in them? Do you want a phone system with it?
Well, that's where it comes in, is the phone system. And I'm absolutely hooked on the system on Palm just because it has so much for me, a doctor working in clinic.
It's got a lot of software for you.
But the question is, if I'm going to spring for this very expensive phone that's going to combine my phone into my Palm, is it really going to be around in a few years? And I guess you guys think it will, so maybe I should.
You know, there is a device that Chris contacted me through instant messaging on last week. He was in L.A. wireless at a trade show checking out the new Danger device.
Yeah, the Danger device. Supposedly he loves it.
He was typing on the thumb keyboard pretty quickly, and we were just talking back and forth, and he was wirelessly over GSM.
But then again, we don't know any kind of stability about this device. Danger is a small company. It hasn't been purchased by a larger company yet. There's questions whether they'll exist in the next 6 months.
Right, right.
Then again, Palm's not doing very well. But John Tracy here in the in the air room with us right now, actually does have a Palm phone. John, do you like it?
Yeah.
Which one do you have?
I have a Kyocera smartphone.
Is that what you're looking for, Eric?
Like that, or the handspring, or, yeah.
Yeah, the handspring with the, there's the Trio.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go on another call. Good luck, Eric. Give us a call when you find out what you purchased. I'd love to know. And we're going to go right back to calls. We're getting a lot of people. The phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. John from Santa Cruz, welcome to Geek Speak.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the show.
Are you talking from inside a tin can?
That is almost analogous to your Palm issue, and it has to do with the accumulation of waste in the industry and what we do about it. Sorry to introduce, airy-fairy politics, but I've been in the industry for 15 years, and I've got a garage full of old computer equipment that has no home. And if you perforate that over 200 million people, what do we do with this high-tech waste besides ship it off to Bangladesh and China? I mean, do we have our brightest and best working on this problem? Do you guys have any thoughts on it?
Right now, there's no legislation out there that's forcing companies to think about the end of the product life cycle after the consumer's used it. And that's the problem, is that there's a lot of money being made selling this stuff, but no one is really thinking about the the turnaround. And of course, the problem is that there's tons of wasted product. I was just talking with, you know, machines are lasting 2 years or at max kind of thing, right? And then we can also talk about media. Next week we're talking about DVD media, and there's a big thing about rewritable DVD. But in reality, no media now really needs to be rewritable except for hard drives, because they're so cheap to keep on buying them and keep on writing. And then you just have stacks of the old stuff and you throw it away eventually. So yeah, there's a serious problem.
And we did a show on this at one time.
Yeah, with Greg Beebe, who had a recycle center
in Santa Cruz, which went out of business because he couldn't find a location.
Right, right.
Not because there wasn't a need, but...
And he was only taking those parts that he could build new machines, well, used machines with, and donate.
That's one of the concepts, is if your machine's available and could be used by some people, then try to pass it down the line. The longer it's used in its current state, the better.
Right, right. If you get any sense of any captains of industry actually looking forward and saying this is a looming problem anyway, we better get our act together? Or
yeah, one of the monitor manufacturing companies recently decided that they're going to be adding in a surcharge for recycling purposes. I can't remember which manufacturer that was, but I wouldn't be surprised to see that as a trend.
Which is just really passing it on to the consumer, which I don't think is where
the consumer wants
going.
The product.
Yeah, but I feel like the manufacturers of these products should take some responsibility in making them either upgradable, more recyclable, out of recycled materials.
That's the thing, is that the industry moves so quickly to make it upgradable like that isn't really feasible. We have new technology being defined daily. Like, think about a monitor, for example. The resolution increases, refresh rate increases, all these things get better over time, and the actual physical CRT just is bad after time.
That's one of the things I've decided, is I'm not going to buy another CRT. Every monitor I've bought since I've decided that has been an LCD, because every monitor has, 10, 15, 20 pounds of lead. That's radio.
Right.
It's radiation shielding. And, that's the stuff that's hard to break down, hard to recycle.
Of course, LCDs have their problems. There are arsenic in them. There's other things in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a perfect world to love technology. It's a shame.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call.
No, that's a huge issue. I don't know how many millions of tons we throw away or try to recycle a year.
Well, we lost Terry, unfortunately, from Monterey. Thanks for calling. We're going to go right to Heidi. Hello, Heidi from Santa Cruz. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Thanks. Actually, this is the perfect segue. That was the perfect segue for my question, because I have an old Dell server, which I'm using as sort of a workstation, which is ridiculous, of course. But since I'm using it, I have a couple questions. One, I just put a gig of RAM in it, and I also put a graphics card in it, since it only had 2 megs of video memory on the motherboard. And it seems to be working a little bit better, but I'm wondering if it's worth it at this point. This is like a 500 megahertz, P3 CPU. Should I upgrade the CPU in the interest of loving the environment and recycling all the technology?
What is it you're trying to do?
Well, actually, I'm using it as a CAD station.
Yeah.
I know.
Computer,
and about the most you can upgrade that to is an 800, 900 megahertz possibly.
Right, I know. Yeah. Which is actually, given what I do, it's probably not unreasonable to even expect that to have a reasonable life.
Does it have an AGP slot?
Yes, it does.
Well, you could get a top-line graphics card, and a lot of your stuff would be taken care of, because...
Well, I have a 64 meg... I just put a 64 meg graphics card in.
And I would assume it improved quite a bit, right?
It did. It did, which leads me, actually, to another question. I have one other quick question.
Please.
Which is that my monitor, which is a beautiful old Dell monitor, it's a flat-screen 21-inch, it's a great monitor, it flickers. And I have this theory that it's because the guy across the street put in a microwave, like this huge microwave relay station. And I'm wondering, is there any way, could that be responsible for the flickering, which seems to be intermittent, and can I shield it?
You could, of course, find out. The simplest way to find out is to take your computer to another location and see if you get the flicker. It's not very fun to move the machine, but you will definitely make sure that it's not your environment. And then if that does solve the problem, and you go back and you still have the flicker, because it could be just a cable that gets loosened, and by moving it and taking it back, it's stable again. But then if the flicker does exist, you can shield your machine. You could put up grounded, like aluminum foil around the machine, not close to the monitor, but actually on the walls around it, and you might be able to get in a situation where you have a little bit of shielding from the interference. But
So just aluminum foil, like heavy-duty aluminum foil?
Yeah, That would actually, as long as it's grounded, yeah, that would probably take care of it.
What you're doing is you're putting up a barrier for electrons.
Yeah.
Right.
You really, you're kind of experimenting in your home. It's not like it's going to be, it's going to work or it's not going to work. You kind of just, you know how old rabbit
office.
Ears.
This is my office. This is my office.
You know old rabbit ears on television? You know, you stand in a certain place of the room and all of a sudden it works. And so one guy has to stand there while you're watching the old reruns.
Right.
That's kind of what you're dealing with. But I would tend to believe that it's not going to be the IR from next door because it's you're saying it's a flicker that's intermittent. It's probably something wrong with the cable or with your seating of your video card, though probably not. Or the monitor's going. Is it
that or
it
could
color?
Just be the refresh settings?
Well, I'm sorry? Yeah. I changed the refresh settings. They're now at
Oh,
like
wait,
80.
It's intermittent. No, that would be permanent.
Yeah. And, of course, there's probably companies that focus on shielding your environment. But I would just take the, I mean, if it's a small enough company where it's okay to take the machine to a different location, like home, and see if it works.
Right.
That's the best way to find out if it's your system or if it's the environment.
And if it's the environment, should I make myself a foil, an aluminum foil like helmet as well to wear while I'm working?
That's only if you don't want your thoughts read.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about that. There's a lot more radiation happening in your environment than across the street, probably.
I wanted to address your upgrade on your machine.
Yeah.
That Dell server, even though it was powerful at the time, is probably nowhere near even the lower-end systems out there
being
sold today.
I'm completely aware of that.
And if you're looking at a couple $100 to upgrade, you might want to think about upgrading to a bare-bones system because you can get those at $300, $400.
And then throwing the current machine away.
And then keep that video card.
Which, we don't want to do.
Yeah, into which pile of trash, right?
Exactly. That one you could actually donate to a school district. And
yeah, it may not be the top of the line. It may not be a computer you buy today, but it's definitely usable.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it is the monitor, I'll take your 21-inch monitor. Yeah,
Might be a good time to get a flat panel on it.
Yeah, sure. Well, and give the monitor to me. That's no problem at all.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Thank you so much
for your help.
Good luck on that.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air room, we have John Tracy Quinn, Sean Cleveland, Miles Elam. My name's Lyle, which I probably already said. You can call in. Phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Join KSP Tuesday evening, tomorrow evening, for complete election coverage. You'll hear local results from throughout the Central Coast, statewide results from the California Report, and national results from NPR. Your hosts include KSP's Bill Monning, Jane Wade, and Deanna Zachary, and reporter Laura Chesky. National coverage begins at 5 p.m. with local returns starting after the polls close at 8. Stay informed with Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP. And, of course, that goes without saying that we won't have any information to tell you unless you go out and vote. So go out and vote tomorrow. The phone numbers, we can take a few more people to call in if you'd like, 476-2800 or 1-800-655-5877. This is Geek Speak. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP Santa Cruz, KBH San Ardo. We're on the web at kusp.org.
And speaking of which, we just launched the GeekSpeak site.
That's
KUSP.
True.
I mean, geekspeak.org.
Miles, we have a website now?
Yeah. Sean and Lyle, I've been working really hard on it. Miles and Lyle have done all the programming for it. It's fully XML.
XML. There's only 5 pages. It's great.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's 6 pages, actually. Hello, Darren from Seaside. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi. I have a question about wireless networking. I just hooked up a wireless network with my 2 laptops at home, and I love getting my internet connection anywhere I go, but I want to print. I have a laser printer, and I want to know what my options are for just having a printer being on my network.
No problem. You can get an HP JetDirect that has a wireless card built into it, or an Asante thing.
I have a printer.
Right. This is something that hooks to your printer. Is it a network printer?
No, I don't believe it is.
Okay. Can you connect it to a parallel port on your computer?
Yeah, you can get an Asante. Yes. Go up to Asante's website, look around. It's a little box that you hook up to your printer via the parallel port, and it's got a wireless card that goes in it.
That's cool.
So it basically becomes a resident of your wireless
or
network.
Or you could just hook the printer up to one of the machines and share it out. Keep the machine on all the time.
Doesn't work so good with a laptop, though.
No, it's true.
One of the things you might want to know is that anyone within 150 feet, if you've got your standard wireless network, can also print on your printer.
Uh-huh.
Unless you take some measures against that.
So you really want to check out whatever's serving your wireless network, make sure there's some security settings on it.
Gotcha.
Does that answer your question, Darren?
Yeah, so I'd be able to just still use my standard NIC cards in my PCs in my laptops, and then the print server, the Asante print server, would have
Since you've got a wireless network with your laptops,
mm-hmm.
basically this just makes your printer a shared resource on your wireless network.
I see.
It's like you put a wireless wireless card in to make your laptop be able to talk. This mm-hmm. is just the same way to do that on the parallel port of your printer.
Gotcha. Great. How much do these units run?
They're about 250, 300, somewhere in there. Yeah.
About as much as a good color printer.
Now, the other option, of course, is if you do have a desktop that's going to be around, you can just plug the printer onto that and turn on the desktop whenever you want to print and then set up sharing for that printer on your desktop, and then all your machines will be able to use that. That's probably the cheaper way to go, but then again, you have to have a machine on.
Right. Okay, thanks
good
so
luck,
much.
Darren.
Yeah, if our previous caller does upgrade and throw the machine away, they should get in contact with you.
It looks like it. Bob from Santa Cruz, you got an iBook, huh?
Yeah. I'm reaching up in the Los Gatos Mountains. I think I'm going to lose you in a minute. But anyway, I have an iBook. Every time I open my Netscape Navigator, two windows open.
Okay. What are those windows?
Two Netscape Navigator windows.
Do they both go to the same page, your default page?
They both are operational.
Whoa.
When you open Netscape, how are you opening it? From desktop on the from an icon on the desktop?
I double-click on my desktop.
If you single-click, does it launch?
No.
I've seen this happen before, and we never were able to figure it out. What we did is a clean reinstall of Netscape, and it went away.
We tried that.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. What operating system are you running? 9-something?
It's 9.
Okay.
Which version of Netscape is it?
I upgraded whatever the...
6-something.
Web is.
I think
probably
7. 7's available now. But.
Yeah, okay, maybe 7. I think it's going to be an OS problem, actually. Do any other applications do this for you?
Pardon me?
Do any other applications do this for you?
No, just the Netscape Navigator.
And John, correct me if I'm wrong here, but there's a setting for applications to use for the Internet. What's
that
called?
Yeah, it's a control panel called the Internet Control Panel.
Go into the Internet Control Panel and make sure that in the Internet Control Panel, the Netscape that's pointing to is the real Netscape that you're trying to open. Maybe what's happening is you're saying open a URL, and the operating system's going, oh, well, the default browser is this, and it opens it, and the double-clicking actually is also opening it. Oh. So if they're the same, maybe it won't open two things. That's just a guess. Good luck.
Okay.
Well. And we can't hear you, so the cursor seems to be skipping and hopping on the page. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's a strange one. I would assume, you say it's an iBook?
Yeah.
Only put one finger on that pad on your iBook. What is it called?
Oh, no.
The
but trackpad. If I'm in Word and I'm typing, or even if I'm just typing an email, the cursor will just jump to a previous sentence.
Yeah, that's another finger.
You're accidentally touching the pad on your laptop.
Yep.
So whenever you touch that, it actually gives a control, and it's random if you just tap it. That's what's probably happening. So keep your hands further away from it and hurt your back, and that's the way to
do it. They make like a little cover for the touchpad?
No, but a piece of paper would probably do it, a piece of cardboard.
Flip
it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would work.
In fact, a lot of notebooks that are being shipped these days have a button that turns that.
Yeah,
that,
and I think actually the Mac does, but I'm not really sure. The other way to go is go ahead and get a USB keyboard and have an external keyboard. It's going to be a better fit on your hand anyway, and it'll be better for your back and your shoulders and all that. And then you just plug it in, and you can do it live. You can do it anytime you want. You can plug it in and unplug it. And you can also get an external mouse, and then you'd be set. Good luck. We've got a few more calls I'm going to try to get to. Actually, we've got a lot of calls that I'm going to try to get to. Renee from Marina, welcome.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi. I think the first caller was asking, well, should he buy a Mac or a PC? And I have sort of the same question, but I have a real specific application. I have a ton of vinyl, and I want to start transferring it to CD. And I'm wondering what...
Is that pretty much the only thing you want to be doing with your computer?
Pretty much. I mean, I have a desktop PC at work. I have an older desktop here at home that I do a lot of work on. I have a PC laptop that I do a lot of work on. I mean, I have too many machines.
Well, right off, you have to be really careful with the Mac environment because only some Macs have audio in of that nature.
Oh, okay.
So what you want to do, again, I recommend going to a Mac store and talking to them and saying, this is what I have. I want to go from, two RCAs, and the cable really is for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm recording right now. I'm recording on a Mac right now, the show, and that's coming right out of our board. So I know that a Mac can handle it, no problem. The software, if you're going with OS X, it's going to be short. It's going to be hard to find the right software for this.
Okay.
But you'll do it. You can do it. I'm doing it. The PC side, are you familiar with either operating system?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What?
Are you familiar with either of the operating systems?
Yeah, I've mainly used PCs. But I can use Macs.
On the PC side, you can totally do this.
You can totally do this on the PC side, no problem at all.
And go with what you're comfortable with.
I'd go with a PC if you're comfortable with a PC.
Yeah, I am, and most of the software I have is all PC.
Yeah, I find I had a lot of trouble trying to do this on a Mac, trying to record sound off of a normal line level.
Okay.
All right? Thank you very much for the call.
Bye.
Well, I'm going to get the last caller I think we're going to be able to get to is Al from my hometown of Ben Lomond. Hello, Al. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi. So my question is, and I know it sounds dumb, and I've been using a Mac for years and years and years, but I'm using OS X now, and I want to, you know how you used to be able to select a file and then colorize it and
label
say,
it.
Label it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I used to do that a lot when I'm, you know, dealing with a lot of files and or especially starting digital photos or something, and I can't figure out how to do it on OS X.
Okay. Well, that's because it's not built into the operating system. You have to get an external file to do this. And
they took
you
that out?
What's that?
They took that out.
But
oh, man.
It's not that hard to get it back in there. And once you get it back in, it will operate the same way. But it's going to be an external application now. And
what is it, like a shareware thing? Or?
I would do a Google search. Go to Google. Do you know what Google is?
Yep.
Okay, go to Google and search for Mac Labels OS X.
Okay.
And you should be able to find it. And you want to maybe do OS 10 Tips is one of the sites, os10tips.com.
OS 10 Hints.
Hints, OS 10 Hints, all one word, OS X Hints.
Okay, well, that's the
and
only...
you'll find it from there.
You're the only person that's been able to answer that question, and I've asked the greatest computer minds that I could find.
What a great segue to end the show. Thank you, Al. Uh-huh. And this is Central Coast Public Radio on KUSP Santa Cruz, KBDH San Ardo. We're on the web at kusp.org. And as Al so eloquently said, we try to have some intelligent speakers here on the show. And joining us today as intelligent speakers, Miles Elam, Sean Cleveland, and John Tracy.
This program is supported by a grant from Seagate Technology. Seagate is a worldwide supplier of disk drives for PCs and servers and innovations for products like the Microsoft Xbox, digital video recorders, and digital jukeboxes. Information is at Seagate.com.
Next week, we're going to be on air talking about the new DVD technology. Recording DVDs on your personal computer, what are the format types? We're going to talk all about it. That'll be next week, 6:30 here on KOSP. My name's Lael Troxel. Tomorrow is time to vote day. Coming up next is, Charlie Lang. He's already in the air room, setting up great music. Two Steps from the Blues, right here on KOSP. But first, Stardate.
Stardate, November 4th. The Galileo spacecraft is set to pay a call on one of the moons of Jupiter tonight. Its camera systems have been shut down, so we won't see any pictures from the encounter. But its other instruments may help scientists determine what the